It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you. Larry.
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, and a special guest star this week. As we told you the past couple of weeks that we're going to have, that was very good English on my part there.
Tremendous.
Who wrote for the New York Times for 20 some odd years? Jack Curry joins the Off the Wall podcast with us. Jack, welcome.
I'm very happy to be here, Chris. I'm ready to bounce off the walls.
Wow. Well, I threw, it's time to spice up the BP set with a little Jack Curry, so I guess I deserve that one. Jack, let's start with putting you into the manager's shoes as the Yankees near the postseason. The position players for Joe Girardi, not too much of a decision to make there. Those are pretty much set in stone. But as far as, let's bring up A.J. Burnett first. As far as he goes, you would have to think he makes the roster. But where does he fit in to the Yankees' pitching rotation plans in the ALDS?
Those are great questions, Chris, and I'll start my answer by saying this. I spoke to somebody from another American League East team in the last few days who said to me, does A.J. Burnett make the Division Series roster? And, of course, I'm not making that decision, but I agree with you. I think he will be on the roster, but I also think the Yankees' hope is that they don't end up using him. I think there's a very good chance they go with a three-man rotation with CeCe pitching on short rest in Game 4. And if you get to the ALCS, you're going to have to use a fourth starter. So maybe between now and then, as we're taping this, obviously A.J. has one more start in Boston. Maybe he finds something. Maybe Dave Island, who I know has worked a lot with him, finds something in that start. And maybe going forward, they get something out of Burnett. But it's all about crossing their fingers. I know Brian Cashman told me the other day, he said A.J. has lost his way. We know the talent is there, but he's lost his way, and the Yankees, if they're going to squeeze anything out of him, have to hope he finds his way back.
One more for me before I let Joe ask the first question on his side. But Sunday's interesting, I think, because no starter is set to go yet for the Yankees. It's CeCe's day. He's not scheduled, though. The Rays do have David Price scheduled. If either of these guys pitch on Sunday, that takes them out of the mix for game one on Wednesday in the ALDS. So, Jack, is the division, my question to you, is the division that important to lose your number one starter for the first game in the postseason?
Not to me, it's not. And I don't think it is to Brian Cashman and Joe Girardi. And I think the reason why the Yankees have TBA to be announced is because they're not going to throw CeCe Sabathia. The next time he throws a pitch will be Wednesday. I can't speak for the Rays. I haven't been in their clubhouse. I haven't interviewed Joe Maddon since they were last in New York. But I would think the Rays would feel the same way. That game on Wednesday that you will play is far more important than the game you will play on Sunday. So I would think that even though the Rays have him slotted into that spot, man, I would be surprised if David Price pitches on Sunday.
All right. I want to talk right now about the matchups where the Yankees, we talked about the wild card, we talked about the division. The Yankees, if they, you know, all holds right now, if both teams win out, they would be the wild card representative in the American League. And they would play, in my opinion, a team that would probably be a better matchup for them in the Minnesota Twins, where you wouldn't have to see Cliff Lee and C.J. Wilson possibly twice in a series, in a five-game series. What are your thoughts on playing the Minnesota Twins?
Right, Joe, you're absolutely right. And the Yankees don't want to say that publicly, and they can't say that. They don't want to tick off the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you do break down the matchups, the Twins, even though they're going to end up with a better record than the Rangers, are the favorable matchup for the Yankees. Cliff Lee, sure, he had the back injury. He seems like he's come back and been himself lately. But let's take a couple of steps back, guys, to July. Look how hard the Yankees tried to get this guy. They were willing to give up Jesus Montero.
That's true.
It just shows you what they thought of how meaningful he could be in a postseason setting. And I remember Cashman saying to me he thought there were a handful of guys in baseball that you put out there on the mound and you don't even think about it. And he put CC in that mix and he put Cliff Lee in that mix. So even if you don't include C.J. Wilson, and we know the trouble they've had against lefties this year, I still think that you're right, that if you get the Twins, you're saying to yourself, fine, we'll deal with the Twins.
Right.
You get the Rangers, that Cliff Lee factor comes in. Now, of course, let's not forget, is Josh Hamilton going to be back, or are they going to be an abbreviated form of themselves if they don't have Josh Hamilton? But I'm with you. I don't think the Twins scare the Yankees at all. I think Liriano's had a really nice season, but I don't think Pavano or Dunsing scare the Yankees. I think Cliff Lee scares the Yankees a little.
I think so, too. And actually, I want to talk about a lefty in the Yankees rotation right now, and Andy Pettit. Now the Yankees are saying that he's had some back stiffness here. This is a huge concern going into this playoffs, because past CC Sabathia, you have a question mark in Phil Hughes, and now it seems like you have a question mark in Andy Pettit's health.
I know you guys are probably like me. In spring training, you'll hear somebody say, what do you need to do to be successful? And they'll say, we got to stay healthy. And it's such a cliche, and half the time I don't even write it down, but it's so true.
It is.
Because look at what the Yankees are going through right now. Andy Pettit was one of the best pitchers in the American League, 11-2, an ERA under 3. Then they lose him for 2 months. He comes back, sails through his first start, and as you said, now word comes that he had some back stiffness. And I am in total agreement with you on this too, Joe, that I'm going to watch his start in Boston, watch every pitch, see how he lands, see how he favoring his back, and that is a concern for the Yankees. Brian Cashman has called it a minor concern, and I guess the optimistic thing or the positive thing for the Yankees is he would have pitched on Wednesday if they had lost on Tuesday, so that shows you that he would have been ready to go. But they took a couple of extra days. He's not a young pitcher. He's an older pitcher. So I'm actually wondering about the Yankees. Now, as we're taping this, obviously it's raining in Boston. But what do you do tonight with Pettit? They got to get the pitch count up. But you also don't want him throwing 10 or 15 or 20 meaningless pitches. What if they're winning 8-1 after six innings and he's at 80? I think I'm taking him out of the game.
I would agree with you on that one, Jack. Everybody is comparing this kind of end to the season to the 2000 season, where the Yankees kind of limped to the end and you know, they went on their World Series run. However, this team, you know, Minnesota's doing the same thing right now. The Rays, they're kind of limping to the finish line here as well. You know, three teams right now in the American League that really are not playing inspired baseball going into their postseason run here. What do you see from the Yankees that you might say, you know, they can, this older veteran team can turn it on in the postseason after having a really terrible September?
And just to accentuate your point, last 10 games for the Yankees, 4-6, for the Rays, 5-5, for the Twins, 4-6. So the Yankees are not alone in this. I will say this, I covered that 2000 team, personnel changes. We know Posada, Jeter, Pettit were there, Mariano was there, but I do remember there being much more tension around that team. They couldn't win. They lost 15 of their last 18. Now, I know the Yankees are in that same boat. I think they've lost 15 of their last 24 or something like that. But I remember that 2000 team saying, wow, these guys can't get out of their own way. And then if you fast forward, they lose the first two games in the division series. But Brian Cashman talked about it the other day. He said all of a sudden they came back and everything just took off from there. So it just shows you, once you get through Sunday's game, you got to win 11 games. You got to figure out a way to win 11 games. It doesn't matter if you win 98, 94, 88. You then have to figure out a way to win 11 games. I am sure why the Yankees have slumped. It's been their starting rotation. It has an ERA over 5 in September. They have to hope that CeCe gives them such a dominating performance in Game 1 that any confidence they may have lost is back. Because they lose game one of a division series with CeCe, all of a sudden things get a little sticky.
Jack Curry joining us here on the podcast this week, the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Joe Auriemma, Chris Sheeran. Jack, the last nine lefties the Yankees have faced, they haven't won. They're 0-9. And either team, I know Minnesota, as you and Joe both alluded to, is the lesser of two evils when it comes to first-round opponents in the ALDS. But both of these teams each have two lefties in the starting rotation. And I know Dunsing doesn't scare you like Cliff Lee does, but does that get in the Yankees' head, like we've lost the last nine, or they're not even thinking about that?
I don't know that they're thinking about it, but they will be asked about it. And I know this won't make Yankee fans feel any better because you have to beat good pitchers. But during that stretch, they faced Price a couple times. They faced Lee. They faced Brett Cecil twice, and he's a much better pitcher than people give him credit for. They faced Lester, but that doesn't matter. They could have faced Steve Carlton in his
heyday.
Well,
in the playoffs,
you got to beat those guys.
You have to be good pitching.
So I think that if you're the Yankees, you're going to be asked about that a lot, and that's something that, again, they have to hope when they hit the end of the regular season, okay, that streak ends. We have to figure out a way tonight. If it's Cliff Lee, we got to beat Cliff Lee. If it's Liriano, we have to beat Liriano. And I go back to one thing that if I were the Yankees, I would sort of hang my hat on is when they made that comeback against the Red Sox, the game where A-Rod hit the two-run homer and then they blew the lead and then came back, they had, in a two-inning span, a series of quality of at-bats. There were about seven or eight at-bats where it reminded me of the way the Yankees grind. And that's what I really think in the postseason they've been very good at, and I think they have to make sure they get to that. I know Cliff Lee is always around the plate, but you still have to figure out a way to make this guy work. He's probably not going to walk you. What, 18 walks and 200-plus innings or something like that this year? But I think you figure out a way to have a quality at-bat against the lefty, and you try and do what the Yankees have been so successful at doing.
Now, our Twitter followers listen to this podcast. You know Jack from being on Twitter, Jack Curry, yes, that Yankee fans on Twitter, they tend to worry about, you know, I don't know, everything. So what would you do if you were, you know, Jack Curry, psychiatrist, and Twitter, the people from the Twitterverse walked into your office and laid down on the couch? What would you tell them that they had to worry about in the postseason for the Yankees?
You have to worry about the starting pitching. You definitely do. You have to worry about what happens after CeCe Sabathia. Is Pettit healthy enough to be the Pettit he's been in other postseasons? Phil Hughes has never started a postseason game. What are you going to get from him? Is it going to be the Phil Hughes who came up so big in his last start? Or is it going to be the guy who has had trouble finishing off hitters? At some point, if you're going to win a World Series, you're going to need a fourth starter. Can A.J. Burnett give you something respectable? I think those are the things I would be concerned with. I know people want to talk about Mariano because he's had a little spell here. Doesn't worry me at all. I think the one thing I would worry about Mariano more than the pitches is he's got to watch the running game. He's got to help Posada out. If he's in there late in a game, we know teams are going to try and run against him. So I think the offense, I look up and down their lineup, and teams would love to have the offense that the Yankees did. So those would be the things that I would say to them to just keep your eye on. But I would also say if you're a fan, enjoy the games. Enjoy the games and be happy that the team you root for is in the postseason again.
Could be worse. Could be in Kansas City.
Exactly. And by the way, I got to throw one thing out there. When you asked me, or maybe I interjected it about the rotation or the whole staff for the postseason, I said Nova 10, and I quickly said Gaudin. Dustin Mosley is a guy who's in the mix, too. I don't know. They've used Gaudin a lot in September, which is, to me, is a sign that they're trying to get this right and they see something. But then again, if you pitch well enough, your 10th and 11th guys on their staff shouldn't even matter. But I didn't want to shortchange Mosley.
I got one or two more for you, Jack. Real quick, like you said, again, to just talk about this point, if the Yankees play the Rangers, just throwing this out there, if Cliff Lee beats them in that first game, you lose CeCe Sabathia. That's another point. So, you know, that's another reason why I think the Yankees secretly want to play the Twins. But I want to talk to you about A.J. Burnett. That guy is 6-15 after starting the season 4-0. And I actually brought up, I combined Javier Vasquez and A.J. Burnett's stats for the season, 20-25 with a 5.33 ERA and 56 home runs allowed in 338 innings pitched. That's not good.
You tweeted that, and I retweeted it. That's how shocking those numbers were. Because when you combine them, mm-hmm. we know their numbers alone are bad enough. And when you see that from two-fifths of your rotation, you could say to yourself, how did the Yankees win 90-plus games?
Or, you know,
wind
yeah.
up in the mid-90s somewhere. Burnett, tough guy to figure out, streaky pitcher, but when you look at, this is beyond a streak. I mean, this is three-quarters to four-fifths of the season where this guy has just been lost, and you see the stuff that he has, and his velocity is still up there. There are times with that curveball, he'll throw half a dozen in the game, and you'll say, wow, what a pitch. Now you know why batters don't like facing him. I don't think the Yankees have an explanation for why he has struggled so much, so I'm not going to act like I could have an explanation. It just seems that, I'll go back to what Cashman said, he's lost his way. I actually heard Brian Cashman on Michael Kay's radio show this afternoon saying sometimes guys get into a rut and just can't get out of it. And this is what has happened with Burnett this year.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Who do you think is going to be the National League representative, and who do you think is going to be the American League representative in the Fall Classic this year?
Well, the National League, I don't want to say it's easy, but I think the National League will be the Phillies. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that in the American League, Yankees and the Rays are going to meet in the ALCS. It's going to go down to a Game 7. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to force you to have me back on the podcast to give my prediction then.
Very diplomatic, Mr. Curry. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. We will take you off the hot seat. For Jack Curry and Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We will be back right after this to talk more Yankees and pro football.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, the Godfather.
How are you, Chris?
I'm good.
Good to be here.
Welcome back.
We want
to thank Jack Curry for joining us earlier in the program.
Very insightful.
Yes, as always. Jack, we've seen him in action since spring training down in Tampa. And what can you say about the guy other than, you know, he's
the man.
Consistent line and always gets the latest information and always keeps Yankee fans informed. So let's begin with the Yankees, since that's where we left off with mm-hmm. Jack and their postseason playoff push. Now, I thought you made one of the best points this week.
Right.
And that was, you know, I was going along the lines of like, oh, you know, just watch out for Minnesota. And then you brought up the tremendous point, and I'm giving you all the credit.
Thank you.
I'm not saying I'm being honest. I was worried about the Twins until Joe had me look into this, and I'm going to let Joe tell you exactly what he told me in my office earlier in the week.
Yeah, and all I said was it's all well and good that the Yankees would get the wild card, but really – I look at the Rangers, and they have Cliff Lee twice, C.J. Wilson twice. That's right there in itself scary in a five-game series. You look at the Twins.
Plus that lineup. Don't forget the lineup, too.
You look at the Twins, and, okay, the Yankees have not beaten a lefty in their last nine games. But, look, Liriano, Pavano, you know.
Dunsink.
These guys are not guys that are going to really blow anybody away here. And my whole point was, if the Minnesota Twins are playing in the American League East, this is an 81-win team. That's my opinion. They're not playing the competition that the Yankees and the Rays and the Red Sox are playing. I think all three teams, and possibly the Toronto Blue Jays, are right there, are better than the Minnesota Twins. I don't know if the Blue Jays are, but if the Blue Jays are in the Central, I certainly think they might win that division.
Well, they're wrapping up the season. As we tape this, the Blue Jays took the first game of the series 13-2. Jose Bautista had two more home runs to add to his record-breaking
year. It's a real shot in the arm, that guy.
Oh, boy. 54 home runs for him this year. Everybody's innocent until proven guilty, Joseph.
I know. And everybody, every team in Major League Baseball can't shy away from what happened. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
But I am going to say this. The Minnesota Twins played the Chicago White Sox, who just, they might have had a decent first half, but they really spit the bit in the second half.
Yes, they did.
They were 13-6 against them. They were 13-5 against the Tigers, who had another, after June, they were non-existent. They were 9-9 against Detroit. So they, you know what? They struggled against Detroit. But you look at the two teams at the bottom in Cleveland and Kansas City, yeah, they killed the competition. And they wound up going 46-26 against their own division, Chris. 46 of their wins came within their own division.
And that's...
And in a bad division.
That's just about half their wins on the season. So, yeah, I mean, that was a tremendous point. I just wanted Joe to convey that to everybody else. If you're sitting there as a Yankee fan worrying, as I know all of you are, especially the Yankee fans on Twitter, and I don't have to mention you by name or handle as it is, because you know who you are. Thanks for listening. Anyway, we move on now. That's the Yankees. You know, it's not decided yet as we tape this who they're going to play. As Joe just eloquently pointed out, it's either going to be the Rangers or the Twins. If I had to guess right now, I would say the Yankees win the wild card.
I would guess.
And they would face the Twins in the first round and start in Minnesota. And if you're worried about not having home field advantage, if you're the defending World Series champions and you're back in the playoffs, you have to win on the road anyway. Go win the games on the road and get back to the World Series. I don't want to hear any excuses about home field advantage because I think it's nonsense. If you have the team to do it, you know, when you win 95, 96, 97 games as the Yankees can this year as we tape this, there are no excuses. You win 97 games, go win an away game.
Give me one win on the road. Give me one. That's all I'm asking for.
Split it and bring it back.
That's it.
All right, so that's the Yankees. Let's move on now and talk a little New York football,
mm-hmm.
as we always do.
Yes.
We'll start with the Jets, because the Giants are
on
just
the lighter side of sports.
The Giants are a locomotive that got hit by the Acela train, pretty much. We'll get into them in just a second. But the Jets, I thought in Phil Mushnick's column today, one of his readers, it wasn't Mushnick who had this, it was one of his readers who wrote in, and I thought was very poignant in how he said Braylon Edwards was suspended for one quarter for a DWI. Sean Green suspended two quarters for fumbling. That is the professional football world that we're living in, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I thought he had a tremendous point on Chris Collinsworth, too. He brought up the fact that Collinsworth got that job on NBC because of his straight shooting ways in his first stint with NBC when he was on HBO and now Showtime on Inside the NFL. And after Braylon Edwards scored that touchdown in Miami on Sunday night, Collinsworth said, and there's some redemption for Braylon Edwards. And Mushnick's reply was, he didn't save 50 kids in a burning building. He scored a touchdown. And he was arrested for driving while intoxicated.
He killed somebody.
So, I mean, just nail right on the head in those areas in his column. And I just figured I'd bring that up first when talking about the Jets. They are 2-1. The one saving grace you have as Jet fans, and it's the thing that I was most worried about when the season began. The defense wasn't ever a concern, ever. Right. My concern for Jet fans' sanity, and we know a lot of them here, and in our friends' lives too, was the quarterback, because they were basing a lot of the season, a lot of the success in getting to the Super Bowl and winning it on a sophomore quarterback. And his first game, if that was indicative of how the rest of the season was going to go, it wasn't a good litmus test. But the past two games, Mark Sanchez has been playing like a seasoned veteran.
Well, he's finally realizing that he's got those weapons out there. He's got a great relationship with Dustin Keller. He's got a great relationship with Braylon Edwards. Santonio Holmes is coming back from his suspension.
So it's only going to get better.
And LaDainian Tomlinson is a rejuvenated running back at this point. So the weapons around Mark Sanchez have really stepped up, and that's what's made him the quarterback that he is right now.
Yeah, it doesn't stink when you have all the guys that Joe just mentioned. Plus, you have a defense that's stifling and could score some points as well. But Sanchez's numbers the past 2 weeks against, hey, the Patriots and Dolphins have been pretty damn good.
Pretty good.
If off the top of my head I'm thinking, I think it's 6 TDs and no interceptions on the season for Sanchez.
That's pretty good.
So anyway, let's move on now to the Giants. And I've never watched a Giant game like the one this past week against the Titans, where the Giants pretty much from 1 yard line to 1 yard line beat the hell out of the Titans. The entire
over 200 yards they outgained.
The entire game.
Yeah.
And lost by 19 points.
Very undisciplined play. And the one thing that's really, really making me mad right now is the blame that's coming Tom Coughlin's way.
I don't think you could really necessarily blame Tom Coughlin. This team has the talent. The thing that I think what's getting blown out of proportion is, you know, everyone's saying the team's losing because of Coughlin. I don't think that's the case. I think it's more of he's losing control. Now, the way you look at that, and it's the only way fans can see it, they're not in there with the beat reporters, you know, but they read what the beat reporters write. All they see is what's on TV that Sunday and then read what the beat reporters say. But you see David Deal getting in his face. You see Antrell Roll getting in his face. You see Brandon Jacobs screaming at him in Indianapolis.
Brandon Jacobs is an idiot.
He is an idiot. But you see all of this insubordination on the sidelines, and when you take that into account, that has never happened in a Tom Coughlin regime. And, of course, when you have, you know, knuckleheads like Tiki Barber then saying, oh, he's in crisis and this, that, and the other thing. Tiki, listen, go fumble somewhere, all right?
Go work in television somewhere in Alaska.
Go fumble your television career.
Yeah, because it's not working on the national level. But going back to it, though, Kareem McKenzie played like a bonehead. David Deal played like a bonehead. These guys, that's not Tom Coughlin's fault that these guys completely played an undisciplined game, because that's their fault. These guys are veterans. They needed to go out there and play like veterans.
But as you know, in every sport, Joe, it always reverts back to the head coach, back to the manager. If somebody, they're the head of the team, okay? You cut the head off and the limbs are just flailing all around. And that's what they're doing right now. It's like the head has been cut off the Giants, and their arms and legs are just punching and kicking at anything that moves. And it's just not like your typical Giant team. And the thing that, and I know you'll agree with me on this, the thing that drives you absolutely nuts is the fact that, you know, the linebacking core stinks. The secondary has its issues. But Kenny Phillips is a superstar. Even playing, you know, on two twigs tied together in his knee after the microfracture surgery, that guy can play football for me anytime. Justin Tuck can play for my team anytime. They do have some talent on defense, and it does show from time to time. But this offense is so talented, Joe. It has so many weapons on it, and yet 10 points?
I'll tell you what really bothered me. This is what bothered me about this game. They didn't get in Vince Young's face, the defense. So there's no pass rush. This was a time. Oh, yeah. Did they stop the run? Yeah, for the most part, they stopped.
For
Chris
three
Johnson.
And a half quarters, they stopped the best running back in pro football, but arguably.
But they didn't get in Vince Young's face when they had the opportunity, and he started getting in a rhythm, and then that was it. This is now two games in a row where the Giants' pass rush has been non-existent, and that's something that this defense was built on. The offense, it's killing me with Eli Manning. The guy has 6 interceptions, and 4 to 5 of them are not his fault.
Tip balls,
dropped passes. Look, Akeem Nicks has a ton of talent, but this guy has dropped more important passes and tipped up more important balls.
Steve Smith has dropped a couple of big ones, too.
Right, which is a little surprising because He's a rock in that receiving core.
I hear you on that, but I'm not giving Eli a complete pass because when you're throwing the ball from his left with his left hand at the 5-yard
line, that separates him
from being in the conversation of being an elite quarterback. I'm sorry, because elite quarterbacks don't do that. And I talked to somebody about this earlier in the week, and they said, "Oh, well, he's done that before, and it's been a touchdown." And so if Boss catches that, it's a touchdown. You're not even talking about it. True. But you have to understand something. This is New York. Everything and everybody is under a magnifying glass. And when you do something asinine like that, when you're driving in for a score, which, Joe, could have been where the game changed that day.
Look, here's the thing. They had it. They came back. They were down 10-0. They came back and tied it before the half. Then the Giants, at this point, starting the second half, they're in their own end zone, and Eli throws a bomb that's caught on the sideline, puts him at midfield, and they're going in for a score. Instead, we have the chop block on Ahmad Bradshaw, which gives not only the Titans 2 points, but it gives them a free kick and a chance to go up 19. So at that point, you went from, to me, what I thought was going to be a 17-10 Giants lead or a 13-10 Giants lead, to a swing of 19-10.
And my brother, the former offensive lineman, told me that was a CS call by the referees, by the way, because a chop block is when you're engaged with someone. And engaged with someone means, both hands are on you. That's when you're engaged. That offensive lineman was releasing him
and
wasn't on him.
Right.
And that's when Bradshaw hit
him. It's funny you say that because Phil McConkey said that same thing. He said, "Is it a rule? Did they go by a rule?" He goes, "Yeah, they went by a rule. But you know what? The offensive lineman basically brushed his hand against the defender. And Ahmad Bradshaw sees, a defender coming at his quarterback.
Someone's going to kill my quarterback. He's a lot bigger than me. I got to block him."
And you know what? And McConkey said that he did not think that the rules were interpreted correctly in that situation. And that should have been a long pass down the sideline, which gave the Giants momentum down the field. And I really think that might have been the turning point of the game.
There are so many things that could be
Ahmad Bradshaw fumbling, too.
Yeah, that going in for another score, and he fumbles. You got to hold on to the ball. I mean, turnovers, stupid penalties. This Sunday night, you're going to know if Tom Coughlin has lost this team or not.
Yeah.
Because if they go out there and get pounded by the Bears at home,
mm-hmm,
and look like they're not even giving the effort. The effort was there against the Titans. It was there. They didn't hold on to the ball, and they weren't smart. It seemed to me like Kareem McKenzie, something happened to him off the field during the week, and he was just not taking anything the Titans were trying to dish out. So that's what I feel about the Giants. I feel like This Sunday night against the Bears, if they don't come correct and if they don't come to play and they just spit the bit and don't play for their head coach,
mm-hmm,
Coughlin's on his way out.
All right, well,
this is just the beginning of the end.
Through the first 2 weeks, you and I were tied at 2-2. Last week, I picked the Titans and I picked the Dolphins. So I went 1-1. So now I'm 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you at right now?
Titans,
uh-huh,
and so, Jets.
So you went 2-0. So now you're 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're leading the pack.
I'm a game ahead.
You're a game ahead here. Okay, so
I'm the Rays and Yankees. You're the Twins.
Okay, right. So here we go. I'm gonna make my picks for this week real quick.
Uh-huh.
All right, ready?
I think you know who I'm picking in the Giants Bears game.
I'm picking the Giants. I think that this is a perfect opportunity.
Good luck with that.
With the Bears coming in, the Giants, these are correctable mistakes that the Giants had in the Titans game. Very correctable mistakes. The Giants are coming in, the desperate team at 1-2. The Bears are the team that's high and mighty right now. They're 3-0 with smoke and mirrors, if you ask me. The Calvin Johnson game, the Dallas game, and the Green Bay could have went any way. They could easily be 0-3 right now.
Still beat Green Bay.
And let me tell you something. The Chicago Bears offensive line is going to be the downfall this week. You're going to see that pass rush. The offensive line has been terrible for the Chicago Bears since the beginning of the season. This is a team that's coming in with a lot of bravado, and I think this is the week where the Giants come in and say we can get a win here. I think they win that game, and I think the Jets are going to win as well. I'm not even going to go into details because I think the Jets. This is a trap game. Buffalo, they always struggle.
I thought you were going to go into details.
They struggle in Buffalo, but you know what? That's it. They're going to win this game.
All right. Mine are very easy and very quick. The Bears over the Giants. I just think. I'm sticking to my guns. I'm sticking to what I said before the season started and what I saw in the preseason. Now, you can't judge a team by their preseason, as everybody says. All the experts, yeah, well, guess what? You could judge a team by the preseason. I judge the Giants by the preseason. They're losing to the Bears this Sunday. They're going to go to 1-3, and the Bill Cowher chants are going to start very soon.
If that does happen, I would agree with that.
As for the Jets, I won't go into a lot of detail here either. The Jets are 5-5 against the Bills the last five seasons, but the Jets are going to beat the Bills at Orchard Park. They're just a better team. And the former Harvard quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, will not make a dent in the Jets' defense.
No,
they are going
to
make many dents in him.
I agree.
He's going to wish he went into law school after Harvard after this game on Sunday. All right, so for Joe Oryema, I'm Chris Sheeran. Those are our picks for this week. I am 4-2. He is 3-3. Just thought I'd throw that back out there at him once more. And I also beat him in fantasy football in the first week of our season here.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks.
For Joe, I'm Chris. We'll see you next week on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. When the world is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. If you can't hang with the feeling, then there ain't no room for you in this part of town. Cause we're the party people night and day, living crazy, that's the only way. So tonight, gotta leave the 9-to-5 up on the shelf and just enjoy yourself. Let the madness and the music get to you, like it's so bad at all. You live it off the wall. Life ain't so bad.